is the Lord Church. I trust all of you are having a blessed week, having a great week. It's been some beautiful, nice, warm weather. And, you know, used to work in construction, and every day above freezing was a good day. And, of course, they're saying we're supposed to get like 8 inches of snow on Sunday night, so... whether we do or not, it'd be nice to have a white Christmas. So if that's the only snow we get for Christmas, that's fine. And then it can all melt in January and February. We can have global warming come back. And oh, yes. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. Just to cover a couple housekeeping issues, I guess, if you could say. How many of you have key fobs to the building? You have that little card, key card, to get into the building? Okay. Those cards now, when you activate the code, when you come up and you just push that against the little apparatus out there and it opens up the building, it automatically disarms the building. Okay, so you don't have to panic when you come in and you find out that, you know, the building's not armed am I doing something wrong? So we've got it set up to where it will automatically disarm the building, but you still need your code to rearm it because we don't know who the last person. The system doesn't keep track of everybody that comes in and out, and we don't know, and you don't know if you're the last person in the building. Okay, so just be aware of that. I know Sunday night the building was not armed. Whoever the last person out was did not arm the building. And so just you need to be aware of that. Brother Larry Connolly takes care of that for us, but he was not here, I believe, on Sunday. So it kind of fell through the cracks there. But when you come in anytime during the day or evening, if it's on a weekend, and you come in and you open up the building and the thing's not beeping at you, it's because it's not supposed to. Now, if it does, then just disarm it. That's why you still need your code, but it should go ahead and work automatically for you. How many of you are enjoy the new security at the building? If anybody having any issues with it, if you're having any issues, you can see Sister Jessica Rivest. I happen to like it because it's nice. I don't have to use a key anymore. It's just one of those things getting used to. It's like having a garage door opener. You just walk in, push a button, and the garage door opens up automatically. So it's kind of nice to be able to take and have that. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll become more accustomed and get more used to it. So moving on, tonight I would like to take, and this is our pastor's Bible study, and Sunday night, Pastor Grant Senior will be preaching Sunday morning. I will be speaking Sunday night, and I will be following up a little bit more evangelistic on what I'm going to be covering tonight. Sunday night I'll be talking on the topic of, are you a game changer? So you want to be here for Sunday night. Last month in our pastor's Bible study, we spoke about the Mission 2025. How many of you remember? How many of you were here and remember what we spoke about? I'm going to take and go over some of these areas, except for we're going to expand a little bit on that tonight. So I'm excited about what God is doing. Pastor Grant, pastor's Bible study in the month of November. It seems like it's been a long time ago already. So our first Bible study, a pastor's Bible study in November, Senior Pastor Grant spoke of the change in direction of the church. He spoke of, we talked about building our new building, where that we had talked about the big auditorium, and we're met with the board, and we're changing a bit of a direction and changing our focus a bit. And we're working with Zion Church Builders to take and come up with a family life center plan. So over the last few years, we've added more services to our schedule to accommodate the needs of our community as well as accommodate the growth of our church. And I'm excited to say that soon we'll be able to reveal the the new plans for our new life center that we are proposing to build. I'm not going to go into great detail on that tonight as we're still working with Zion Church Builders. We're supposed to be getting back some of the revisions yet this week on some blueprints that we had gone over a week and a half or so ago. But by the end of this year, we should have this pretty well nailed down to where that we'll be able to take and bring to you as a congregation, hopefully before this year is out, not only just a drawing of what the building will look like, but a floor plan, so you'll be able to take and look at the floor plan and be able to take and spend some time studying it and give you time to observe that. So I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what God is doing as a church. But as a church, we must continually be looking into the future. As we go into the month of January, I'll be talking with Pastor Thomas, and he'll be working with Brother Blake George and Brother Glenn Uselman, and we're going to be going into the month of January with a strong emphasis and focus on prayer. And it's just not going to be, Lord, pray for my family. Lord, pray for my niece, my nephew. Pray for my health. It's going to be specifically focused on prayer, what we call spiritual warfare type of prayer. We are entering, as we continue to move forward in God, as we continue to move forward into this vision and into this mission, it is not going to be without opposition. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to just come at us as Satan's not going to roll over and play dead for Calvary Gospel Church. There's going to be battles to fight. There are going to be wars, and we are going to have to win, and we are going to win, but we can't do it if we're not praying specific spiritual warfare type of prayers. And we're going to take and focus on that in the month of January, and we will be giving you more information as we get closer to that. But as a church, we must not overlook the importance of the future. We must look into the future, but we must not overlook the importance of the present, the here and the now. What is happening here and what is happening now is very critical to our mission. Nor should we forget the blessings or forget the ways of the past and where we have come from. So many times we forget where God has brought us from, and we forget what God has brought us out of or what God has brought us through. And I'm so thankful for everything that the Lord has brought me out of, what He has brought me through, but I'm thankful for what I'm experiencing now, and I'm thankful, and I'm thankful, and I'm thanking God ahead of time at what He's going to do in my future, as well as in your future. We must understand and realize that either we're going to go forward, or we're going to just stand still. And by the very virtue of standing still, it means that we will fall behind. Many churches today have become comfortable and complacent. They become cushy. It's become a place where the church can come in and have their coffee and their donuts and sit back and listen to a flowery sermon. But as the pastor spoke Sunday morning, if you were here on Sunday morning, he spoke of the church of Laodicea. He said that it would rather be ye hot or be ye cold, but if you're lukewarm, I've got no need for you. I don't need you if you're lukewarm. If you look at that word spew out of my mouth, I will spew you. And I'm not trying to re-preach Sunday morning's message, but it means to vomit vehemently. And that's what God is saying to the lukewarm church. He says, I cannot tolerate lukewarmness. Tonight, I would like to go and review, plus add a bit to our mission plans. We spoke of Mission 2025. Tonight, I would like to take and add another dimension to this, and this is the dimension of getting focused. We have to get focused. How many times have you heard or told your children, just focus on your homework and you can get it done? Have you ever done that? Have you ever spent? I have a terrible time sometimes getting myself focused. Once I get focused, I can get something accomplished. But sometimes I fight to get focused. And tonight we're going to speak about getting ourselves focused or getting focused. Reading from Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and in anything be ye likewise minded. God shall reveal even this unto you. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul believed in moving forward. We cannot simply rely, church, on our past victories, nor can rely on our past reputation. But as a church, we need to think about what it will take to move us forward. We must never be satisfied with victories in the past, nor believe that what we are doing in the present is all that we can do or all that we should do. 2 Peter verses 3:18, Paul says, or Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Tonight, there are challenges that we must accept if the church is going to move forward. We must accept the challenge of making a difference in our world. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16 says, ye, speaking of me, speaking of you, speaking of the church, ye are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of Dane County. But if the salt, if Calvary Gospel Church has lost its savor, but with wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing and be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye, Calvary Gospel Church, members of Calvary Gospel Church, we are the light of Dane County. We are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men take light and hide it, or take neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You don't take a flashlight and walk around in the dark with the flashlight in your pocket. You pull the flashlight out because the flashlight lights up your path, but it also allows other people to see you and to find you. We are a city. We are a church set upon the hill. A church, we cannot hide our light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And turning to 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. This generation right here, right now, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. People need to see a difference in us. They need to feel a difference when they walk into the doors of Calvary Gospel Church. They need to feel a difference when they engage in conversation with us on the street. They need to walk away and say, what is different about that man? What is different about that young lady? What is different about that young boy? We must show forth God by the things that we do. People need to see, people need to feel, hear, and taste. And I put the word taste in there because you add all, you can add smell. People need, it said taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. People need to experience all manner of senses. God gave us our senses for a reason, so that we can experience what he has to offer in our lives. We must show forth God by the things that we do. We must accept the challenge of making a difference in our community. The difference must come as we live rooted and founded in on the Word and in the Word of God. Christians today have been silenced and been made to feel unwelcome and unwanted in so many different ways of the world. But we cannot let the world, we cannot let the popularity of what's going on in the world, we can't let it shut us up or shut us down. We can't let it shut us out, and we can't allow it to shut us in. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast. Be ye unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can change the world the same way God's people have always changed the world, by teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by changing the hearts and minds of those who live around us. In Acts 17:6, it says, "And when they found them out, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." It needs to be where the city county meets and said, "What are we going to do about Calvary Gospel Church? Everything, everywhere we turn, they are there, and they are turning Madison, Wisconsin upside down for the name of Jesus Christ." It says certain brothers unto the rulers of the city, the mayor, the city council, Dane County Council. Paul and the disciples, they turned their world upside down for Jesus Christ. And we must accept this challenge, the challenge of making a difference in our world. We must accept the challenge of evangelizing our own community. If we don't do it, pray tell me, who will? Who will? What other church is going to pick up the torch of truth and carry it throughout this county? If we don't reach the universities and the colleges in this city with the truth, who's going to? Who is going to? If we don't reach into the neighborhoods with this great gospel of truth, who will? Who will? Who's going to reach all of these people if we don't weep and if we don't pray for this city? Who will? It's a staggering thought. You see, God did not call us to be a social network for good people. He called us to go forth and reach the lost. Mark 16:15-16. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And the verse 16 is one that just hits so hard in my heart. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned forever and ever in a lake of fire." Many times you hear and you see churches that say, "Well, you have to understand, we're a home missions church. That's what we focus on. We focus on home missions." Or I've heard it say that we're a Mother's Memorial church. That's our focus. We focus on our Mother's Memorial program. Or we're a Sunday school church. We really put a lot of emphasis on our Sunday school. You see, just like we eat a balanced meal to stay healthy, the church needs to be balanced also to stay healthy. You can't take and focus on any one of these areas and stay healthy. Because if you focus too much, if you do nothing but eat meat, there's going to be a problem. If you do nothing but eat vegetables, and some of you would argue that fact, for me, there would be nothing but problems. If you do nothing but eat desserts, there's going to be a problem. You will be a round John virgin. You can't live on Mountain Dew and peanuts. It doesn't work. You've got to have a healthy balance. 12 ounces of Mountain Dew is all you need for a day. I'm just kidding on that. So what is a healthy balance? Let's just look and see. What kind of church really is a biblical church? You see, you can look at an internally focused church or a community-focused church. Kind of broken this down into a couple areas. An internally focused church and a community-focused church, they both have good worship. It's important, if you're going to have church, to have good worship. They both have strong ministries, and they focus this attention on getting people into church and what happens in church. It gauges its effectiveness on attendance and the quality of worship. But a church that's focused inwardly, most, if not all of its time, as well as most of its budget, is spent inside these church walls. So when you look at an internally focused church, in order to keep people, you've got to have good music, you've got to have good programs, you've got to have good ministries. But all of the resources are poured inwardly. Now, pastors preach, and I'm not going to re-preach his message on why some churches don't grow, but I just want to take and add some to this tonight. Now, what does a community or a missions-minded church look like? It also has to have good worship. I thank God for having great worship teams here at Calvary Gospel Church. I appreciate the worship teams within our church. It has to have strong ministries. I appreciate the strong ministries that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. But we must take and focus our attention on taking the gospel into the community. That is becomes the difference between an internally and an externally focused church. It measures its effectiveness by the impact it has on the community. What kind of an impact do we have outside of these walls? Everybody knows everybody inside, but what are we impacting and what kind of an impact are we having outside of these walls? It measures its effectiveness by the impact it has on the community, and a large portion of its time and its budget is spent on what occurs outside of these church walls. So we have to ask ourselves, what kind of church are we? What kind of church do we want to be going into 2014? Where do we spend the greatest amount of our time as well as the greatest amount of our resources? Now, I understand that we must have a balance. We are called the salt of the earth, and we are light unto men. We are called to be fishers of men. But as a church, we have a social as well as a spiritual responsibility to our community. As a homework assignment, go home tonight. Maybe it might be too late tonight when you get home, but tomorrow, before our next Wednesday service, set your family down and read Isaiah 58. He speaks to the ministers of the nation of Israel. He speaks to the people of the nation of Israel. He talks about their worship. He talks about their fasting. He talks about their prayer. He talks about their way that they observe the Sabbath or don't observe the Sabbath. Or if we could put it in terms today, our church attendance. He addresses the church attendance. Is Isaiah in Isaiah 58 is basically telling Israel, you need to either paint or get off the ladder. Something's got to be done. As we enter into a new year, I want to see and I desire to see a change in the ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church. I know we put forth a calendar for 2014, but I want to take and add a new dimension into our ministries. As a pastor, I desire to see our children, our young children, not just the youth age children, but our young children become powerhouses for God. I want to see them anointed with the and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Every ministry, whatever ministry, if you are a ministry leader, your ministry should have, must have an outreach plan. You have got to look at your ministry and say, what can my ministry do as an outreach for Calvary Gospel Church? How can my ministry be effective in reaching out these four walls? Every ministry must be involved in the community. It's a must. It's not a request. It's not a can you please do this. It's a must have, a must be type of a situation. We have youth, looking at youth on a mission as some throwing out some things that we have discussed. If we can send young people all over the world, why can't we take and commission young people here in Dane County? I know it's not as exotic to go to Allied Drive or to go to Todd Drive or go to some of these other areas as it is to go to Africa, but there are people living and dying and going to hell right at our doorsteps. I'm not saying if you're a young person and you've got a trip, and I know some of you young people are spending a lot of your own resources to go to countries like Africa, and I applaud you to do that, but don't forget about the people that live on your block. Now, I'm not saying that we're not doing a good job. I'm just saying, church, I feel in my heart, I know I can do better. I know we as a church can do better. We have to do better. We need to teach and to train our young people, not just for future ministry, but for right now ministry. When our young people go out and they go all over the world, I want to see them be able to take and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. There's no age requirement on that. It says lay hands on the sick. Each ministry can have an outreach. Each ministry can be involved. I'm not picking on ministries. I'm just throwing things out. Our Bible quizzers. We can teach our Sunday school children. We can take our Bible quizzers. They can go into the classrooms and they can take and teach the children in our Sunday school classrooms the Word of God. They can take and they can become spiritual giants when it comes to teaching the Word of God. But not only teach the children in the Sunday schools, go out with an outreach team and sit children down in the neighborhoods around this community and begin to take and implant the Word of God into their heart and into their lives. I see what it has done and the impact it has had on children that have grown up in the church. I would like to see what kind of an impact we can have on the world out there with Bible quizzing in here. Our Bible quizzers can become scripture planters, planting the Word of God all over the city. You want to raise up a generation and change a generation? Listen, the liberal mindset has it right. Get the children. Get the children. We need to have the same strategy. Get the children. Bring them into the parks. Teach them the Word of God. And allow our Bible quizzing members to teach. Wouldn't that just be awesome? See our Bible quizzers teach them Acts 2:38 and then pray them through to the Holy Ghost right out there in a park. Why not? Our hyphen ministries, our youth ministries. I've been meeting with Brother Shane and Sister Vonna Mackey, Brother Phil, as well as Sister Fiona. And we may not have experienced the numerical growth that we would like to see in our hyphen ministry. But as I told Brother Shane, we've experienced a great deal of what I call just great personal growth, growing new men and new women in ministry, giving them an opportunity to preach and to teach, giving them the opportunity to lead services. We must accept the challenge of developing leaders here in Calvary or at Calvary Gospel Church. I look at how some of our hyphen ministry and our youth ministry and Sunday school is getting on board with this. I want to see our Sunday school, our children lead our next Sunday school convention, our next Sunday school crusade. I want to hear a Roman George. I want to hear some of the Rossing, young Rossing boys. I want to hear some of our young men and some of our young women get up here and do a five spot and have the Holy Ghost and the power of God fall down. Why not? It won't happen if we don't train them and teach them. If we don't make it happen as adults, it won't happen. We must think about where and who will lead the church in 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now. Who is going to be the future elders of Calvary Gospel Church one decade from today? As we read in 2 Timothy 2:2, and these things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul invested himself in the training of a young man named Timothy, and Timothy turned around and he began to do the same thing to other faithful men in the ministry. And those men would turn around and yet invest themselves in yet others. And it continued to grow and it continued to compound. Christian leaders must develop future leaders. We have to develop future youth leaders, future hyphen, future campus, and must be able to give them more responsibilities and more expectations. If we're going to set the bar, let's set it high. It's not a high jump if it's only 2 foot, 2 inches. It's a high jump if it's 6 foot, 2 inches. It doesn't mean that we set it so that it's so unrealistic that no one can jump. But we set the bar. There needs to be planning. Leaders aren't trained by accident. We just can't one day, boom, have all the leaders that we need. And the next day, boom, have all the trained personnel that we need. They have to be trained. Our Wednesday night time when that we get together on our Wednesday night classes and we train, it's not a time for fellowship. It's a time for training. We are entering into a phase of warfare. And if we're not prepared to fight the battle, we're going to get chewed up. Christians can lose, you know. There's a responsibility of leaders, our pastoral staff, to train and allow themselves to be trained. I'm no good as a pastor if I won't listen to any advice of my elders. I have to be in a constant state of learning and a constant state of training and willingness to be mentored. It doesn't stop just because you reach close to the top of the ladder. There's always someone you need to subject yourselves to. It's a responsibility of followers to become trained as leaders. The best of leaders have to have the best of followers. Good leaders first must learn how to be good followers. And all of this begins to add up. When we look here, we have our outreach teams with Brother and Sister Nikielski as the leaders in our outreach under Brother Pastor Rich Thomas. And then we take and we add to our outreach team, adding on to this mission 2025. When you say, how are we going to do this, Pastor Roy? We already have our outreach teams, and we are going to develop within this next year church plant teams. And within that church plant team, there will be a Sunday school, a youth, a hyphen, a men and a ladies teams. And we will enter into a neighborhood. We will enter into a town. We will enter into a city. And you may be asked to assist in a church plant sometime or somewhere down the road in Dane County. And if you are asked to be involved in a church plant, please say yes. It's a crying shame if you're willing to preach on this platform, but not anywhere else. It's a crying shame if you're willing to sing from these microphones, but you won't sing anywhere else. Listen, when I told Jesus Christ, when I told God, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll preach wherever you want me to preach. He didn't give me a choice of where I was going to minister. I don't know what my future holds. I may not be here 10 years from now. I don't know. I'm not guaranteed. I want to do everything I can do while I'm here. This is where God has placed me. I didn't have a choice in the matter. And sometimes God places you and you don't like the placement because it's not high profile enough or you don't get enough credit. As I said last Sunday, get over yourself. There's souls that are losing their lives. Look at the mess, Pastor. This dovetails right into his message on Sunday morning. Pastor talked about Jonah, the mess that Jonah got himself into because he didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach. He had no desire to go preach to a bunch of heathen, wicked Gentiles. He didn't want to go into a poor, broken down neighborhood and preach. And God says, you're going anyway. And Jonah says, no, I'm not. And he heads off to southern Spain, Tarshish, the Spanish Riviera, and going to catch some rays. And God says, oh, no, you're not. I'll show you just how miserable life can be when you're outside of my will, Jonah. God can do the same thing to any one of us here. say, we look at Jesus and his ministry, 80% of his ministry was outside of the church walls. I know, church, I understand that change is hard. Change is hard. Trust me, this year has been a tough year. It's been a difficult, I'm not complaining, but as my role changes, my responsibilities change, and it becomes more difficult, and you have to learn to adapt to it. I have to tell myself, just get over it sometimes. Move on. Stop complaining. Push forward. It's a lot less work to just continue down the same path that we're on. It's a whole lot easier to say, you know what? I'll just keep continuing on down this little road that I'm going on. After all, you know, I'm soaking up a few blessings here and there. We've had 308 people get the Holy Ghost this year. Nobody can fault us for that. We're having growth. It's steady. We're having great church. We got great people. I love the worship. I love the ministries. But God is calling us, Calvary Gospel Church, to reach out into the unknown. He's calling us to take those steps of faith. Faith in our finances. Let our requests be known unto God. God, it takes money to do all of this, and Lord, you're going to take and provide. If this is your will and this is your mission, you're going to provide the resources we need, and they'll be there when we need them. We need to have faith. We have to practice faith. Practice faith as individuals as well as ministry teams. And yeah, fear. Fear. You ever hear a story about someone that was in a dangerous situation, whether it was in war, and they got the Congressional Medal of Honor because of unbelievable bravery and gallant bravery. And they ran out in enemy fire, and they saved 5 or 6 or 8 or whatever it may be of their comrades in war and battle. They may have been shot 1 or 2 times in the process, but they saved their whole company of men. When you ask and you hear those stories, and they say the number one thing is they forgot about their own self. They didn't even think about fear because the necessity of the job, their men, their brothers, their friends were being shot to death by the enemy. And if they didn't do something, so they put away their fear. I didn't even think about it. I've read stories where the men have said, I didn't even think about fear. Being a hero was the last thing on my mind. I had a job and I had to do it. We have a job. We have to forget about ourselves and we have to focus on others. One thing that I'd like to add, we must start outreaches in the neighborhoods and church plants. As we start our outreaches and we start into neighborhoods, we must stay engaged with the enemy for the long haul. You see, we're not just fighting one battle. We are fighting a war. And it is a war that must be won. We must be enemy-minded. We cannot, we will not allow us as a church to give up one neighborhood in this city to the enemy. Imagine fighting a war and every week you pull back to your starting point. Imagine fighting World War II and every week we would pull back to Normandy Coast and we would walk, sit there and wait for a while, rest and regroup. This is how the North started the Civil War. They would engage the enemy, the Southern, adding on to Brother James's on Sunday night. Did a tremendous job, Brother James, on a CIP, the message. Tremendous. But the North had a problem with General McClellan. He didn't like to fight. back-to-back battles. He'd go into battle and he'd fight and he'd pull back and retreat, lick his wounds, give his men rest. And while he was licking his wounds and resting, the enemy was out there outmaneuvering him. When we go into a neighborhood, we go in it to stay. We're not going to give up one inch. We fought too hard taking all of this territory. We fought over it. We prayed over it. We fasted over it. We're not going to start over time and time again. We can't quit. We can't slow up, give up, or back up one inch until Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The gospel is best spread unto all the world. One community at a time. Jerusalem, it went to Samaria. It went to all of Judea, then to the uttermost parts of the world. Church, when we look at the book of Acts covered some 30 years from beginning to the end. If our brothers and sisters in the book of Acts, by word of mouth, plus a few parchment letters, can do what they did, and all the known world know of this gospel, then you and I, with all of the technology and the ability to move around quickly from one place to another, Dane County, does Dane County, Wisconsin, have to cry out as the psalmist cried out in Psalms 142:4, no man careth for my soul? Is Dane County going to cry out to Calvary God? Gospel of church and say, do you care for my soul? We must accept the challenge of making a difference in the world, evangelizing our community, developing leadership, and winning our community one person at a time, one family at a time, one neighborhood at a time. With this, there is a movement in the church today that would want to simply abandon the scripture as our authority for what we preach and what we teach. But we can never, church, we can never abandon God's word. This word right here is our power. You can't look at God's word and say, well, you know, we could get more people if we just lower a little bit here or lower a little bit there. You know, to get into heaven, it's a very simple but stringent plan. Repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, and living a holy life. And now I'm paraphrasing that, going through that very quickly, but we're primarily church here tonight. We can't go out there and just make people feel good about themselves and make them feel like because they're doing good that they're going to go to heaven. We got to preach the word because there's power in the word. As we move forward into the future, the Bible must be the foundation of what we believe. We must practice it. We must preach it because that's the only thing that's going to save lost souls. Not flowery churches with flowery programs. It's the power and the authority in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is coming back for a blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled, on-fire church. We must be a people. We must be a church rooted in this book. All of these challenges are personal challenges to each and every one of us. You see, this is God's church. This isn't Pastor Roy's church. This isn't Pastor John Grant's church. This isn't Pastor Thomas's or Pastor Phil's or any of the other pastors here. It's not our church. This is God's church. We're placed here as stewards over this church. I don't own Calvary Gospel Church. I don't own it. But I'm a steward over this house of God. I'm a steward over this. All of these challenges, this is the Lord's church. It's composed of people just like you and just like me. It will be a friendly church if I'm a friendly person. It will do great works if I do great works. It will be a missions-minded church if I'm a missions-minded person. It will be a holy church if I remain a holy person. It will be a giving church if I am a giving church. It will be a spirit-filled church if I am spirit-filled. It will be a church that worships if I am a person that worships. It will be a church that brings others into the fellowship if I bring others into the fellowship. If its seats are filled, it will only be filled because I helped fill them. It will be a church of loyalty, a church of love, a church of faith, a church of servants, only because I am loyal, only because I am loving, only because I am faithful, and only because I am willing to be a servant. It will be what I am. It will be what we are. All of these things the church should be. Therefore, with God's help, I, Roy Howard Grant, dedicate myself this next year to the task of being all that I can be for Jesus Christ. The church needs, we need to be thinking about the future. We need to be thinking about looking forward. We need to be thinking forward, planning forward, and moving forward. This is critical because the church's future depends upon it. As Jesus stood that day talking to his disciples, and in closing tonight, if our musicians can come, he began to speak to them in parables. And God impressed upon me so strong to read this tonight. And it's a hard read. It's a familiar parable, but it's a hard read because as I began to read it, he began to personalize it. I'm going to personalize it for myself tonight, and you personalize it as it fits you. Reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, who called Roy Howard Grant into his office and delivered unto them, or delivered unto me, his goods. And he gave unto me a total of 5 talents. Or he gave unto me a total of 2 talents. Or maybe he gave me just 1 talent. But he gave every one of us, every man according to his or her ability. And then the Lord ascended into heaven to his throne. He that had received myself, maybe I received 5, maybe I received 2 or 1. He that received 5 talents went and traded with the same. Begin to go out and begin to witness, begin to preach and begin to teach and begin to take what he had, what was entrusted in him. He began to go out and begin to share it with others. He that had 2 also began to do the same thing. But to the one that he gave 1 talent, he was afraid that his witness was weak and he wasn't strong, and he went out and he buried his talent. He that received the 5 talents went out and taught Bible studies. And through his preaching and through his teaching, won 5 more people into the kingdom. If you've only received 2 talents, the same that had 2 talents went out and began to teach and began to witness and brought 2 people into the kingdom. But the one, the whole time that the Lord, as he ascended into the heavens and as he began to prepare a place for you and I, the whole time the Lord has been in heaven, or the whole time the Master is gone, he's sitting doing absolutely nothing with what God has given him. The go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel need not apply to the one with 1 talent. And God said, as I began to struggle and weep. Roy, what are you doing with what I have given to you? What are you doing with the talent and the abilities that I have placed upon your shoulders? I ask you the same, Calvary Gospel Church. What are you doing with the ministries that God has placed you over? If you're a ministry leader, what are you doing with the talent that God has given to you? You can stand to your feet. And after a long time, after some 2,000 plus years, a trumpet sounded, and Jesus Christ returned to this earth. And we can fast forward to the white throne judgment, where every man will be judged according to his works. And he that received 5 talents brought another. He that won 5 souls. He that started 5 church plants. He that started 5 Bible studies. Stood before the Lord on that great day and said, look at what I have done with what you have given me. Out of 5, Lord, we now have 10. Out of 2, we have 4. And there stands the one lone servant with nothing to show for 2,000 years of service. The Lord saith unto the 2, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servants. Calvary Gospel Church, you have been faithful over what I have given you. And because you're faithful over what I've given you, I'm going to give you more. You see, this parable, you can look at it in so many different ways. We can look at it and turn right now and twist. Not necessarily twist, but look at it at the angle. What are we doing? But he that received the 1 talent says that he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, church, we have a mission. We have a job to do. And it's not going to do it by itself. It's going to take every last one of you recommitting your life, not just a portion of, but all of, to a Savior. He bled and he died so that I might experience life. There's nothing I can do short of winning as many people as I possibly can into his kingdom. That's the best way I can repay him, as being the best servant that I can be. I can't give him anything he doesn't already have. The only thing I can do is give him myself. It's all I have of value to give him. We have to be focused. We have to stay true to our mission. This altar is open tonight. For you to come down and rededicate, reconsecrate your life, your ministry to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not doing this to make me feel good. You're doing this for Jesus Christ. Let me see. It's His church. They're His souls. But He left that mission. He left the responsibility of reaching this world up to men and women such as you and I. You need a healing in your body tonight. I don't want you to leave here tonight without a healing. If you need healing, feel free to come up to my right, your left. If you have a need, we're willing to pray for you. I don't want you to walk away. If you